They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Who's listed as rich and who's not in Congress? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. On many lists, Republican Michael McCaul of Texas is the richest member of the House of Representatives, a net worth of $125 million by one estimate, in large part from his spouse, a founder of iHeartRadio. Not the richest man in the House by his own account, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana. On Johnson's official financial disclosure, he lists no bank or retirement account. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
Under assets on Speaker Johnson's most recent financial disclosure report for 2022, it says none disclosed, no retirement plan, no mutual funds, no bank account. Actually, the Speaker's office told me he does have a personal bank account, but it's exempt from House reporting rules because it doesn't earn interest. Jordan Libowitz, spokesman for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, says
it could be that he's just essentially living hand-to-mouth. It's paycheck to paycheck. And so it goes into a checking account, goes right out of it.
Libowitz says congressional ethics rules only require disclosure if a member of Congress has total deposits in interest-bearing accounts worth more than $5,000. Speaker Johnson did disclose several debts, including a mortgage, as he told Fox News last weekend.
We have four kids, five now, that are very active and have kids in graduate school, law school, undergraduate. We have a lot of expenses.
Jordan Libowitz of CREW says if members of Congress are living paycheck to paycheck, they can be vulnerable to things like influence buying, although Libowitz is not saying that's the case with Johnson. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Again, movie, TV, and streaming production could restart soon after a tentative contract deal and the Hollywood performers' strike. Marketplace Morning Podcast has coverage if you miss it on the air today. There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This month for Econ Extra Credit, not a documentary, but a feature film based on the historical record. We're watching Killers of the Flower Moon in theaters now. Members of the Osage Nation had been forced onto agriculturally poor land that turned out to be oil rich. The film tells the story from the 1920s of a reign of terror faced by Osage people at the hands of exploiters and murderers taking their wealth. To help us with some key concepts from this history, we turn to Gene Dennison, a citizen of the Osage Nation and co-director of the Center for American Indian and Indigenous Studies at the University of Washington. Professor, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Now, Professor, you're generally all right with this feature film, even if something like that can't tell the whole story?
Killers of the Flower Moon is such an important story in that it tells a story that is legally not allowed to be told in our public schools in Oklahoma right now, a story about race and a story about colonialism and something that our teachers would literally be fired for in the state. I do think, though, that there's some real challenges that you can see that develop in the film in terms of not having Osages be the ones who tell the story. Osages are represented as a dying race, as a group of people who are being overcome by colonial histories and colonial processes, and are not represented in ways that show how creative and strategic we really are and have always been.
Let's zoom into some terms that come up in the film that are crucial. First of all, a headright.
So the headright is this fascinating system that was created by the United States government to take the Osage and turn us into a corporation model. And so the headright is an artifact of that. There was an allotment system that happened in 1906 for the Osage Nation. And we advocated throughout all of these processes, you can see Osages constantly trying to navigate the very complicated situations and make them as good for ourselves as we possibly could. So we advocated that none of our land be allotted to non-Osages. And we advocated that we maintain the mineral estate as a national commodity for the Osage Nation rather than as something that was going to go out to individuals. And so the headright came to represent your share in this larger oil production.
When I read the book first, before seeing the film, this term guardianship is a key concept, a shocking concept. It's curious to see if the film addresses guardianship. It does. It does repeatedly. What is guardianship in the terms of the film?
What we see with guardianship happening is the assumption that the Osage people are not competent to manage their own affairs. You know, you have this moment in time where you have all of these corrupt people taking advantage of the fact that the federal government has created a void of justice in the Osage Nation. Instead of facilitating us to be able to make our own justice systems again, what the federal government does is not blame the people that are coming in or punish the people that are coming in, but instead says, Osages, you can't handle your own affairs yourselves. Clearly, you need somebody to come in and protect you.
And it was a system, this guardianship system, that was ripe for intense abuse. I mean, it was at the center of really an industry of exploitation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was this system that was really tailor-made to exploit Osages, tailor-made to concentrate wealth. In fact, I would say that the Osage Reign of Terror is really a logical response to federal Indian policies and what they set up in the context of the Osage Nation.
Gene Dennison is a professor at the University of Washington. She's also author of the book Colonial Entanglement, Constituting a 21st Century Osage Nation. Professor, thank you very much for this.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.
She also writes about the film in Time magazine. Tomorrow on many of our outlets, we also discuss how the Osage Nation has persevered and adopted a new constitution back in 2006. Econ Extra Credit, follow along with our teachable moments drawn from our film viewing. Sign up free via marketplace.org/newsletters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.